Hey everybody, welcome to Sound Bombing. I created this show for people who want to experience a radical, life-changing journey through the sounds of my diverse guests. I hope that each sound you hear on this show will strengthen your faith, encourage your dreams, and challenge you to awaken the greatness within you.
Drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We're gonna drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We're gonna drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We come to drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new values, and a new experience.
Lamar Darnell Shields.
What's up, Sound Bomb? Is this your man, Dr. Lamar Darnell Shields, in the studio one more time to spend my day with you because I love what I do and I love that you all have been sending me some amazing, and keep them coming, emails. And I am so grateful that you've been listening to the show. We are now almost at our 5,000 downloads. So keep it coming. Keep it coming. And again, as always, before I begin, I want to send my prayers. I want to send you some high energy to all those individuals who are quarantined like many of us are. I want to send some prayers and blessings to your family. And as always, I say this all the time. Build that strong immune system. Eat those healthy whole foods. Wash your hands. Social distancing is important, but you still can be social. Check on our elders. Check on our seniors. Check on individuals who you haven't spoken to in a very long time. This is a really, really good time to reconnect with individuals. It's a really good time to ask for some type of forgiveness from individuals that you might have wronged or vice versa. But just this is a good time just to be connected. My concern with COVID is that there we have this disconnect right now. We are by nature intimate people. We have intimate touch. We have intimate conversations. And I know because of social distancing, we are not allowed, many of us are not allowed to touch or hug. So again, send a positive email, send a positive message. And speaking of touch and speaking of sensitivity, hey, Sound Bombers, I have some questions for you. Are you easily overwhelmed by such things as bright lights, strong smells, coarse fabrics, or sirens nearby? Do you get rattled when you have a lot to do in a short amount of time? Do you make a point of avoiding violent movies and TV shows? Do you need to withdraw during busy days into bed or a darkened room or some other place where you can have privacy and relief from the situation? Well, Sound Bombers, if you answer yes to any of these questions, you are probably a highly sensitive person. Now, as a researcher, of course, I had to do my due diligence, and I discovered in 1996, a researcher, Dr. Elaine Aaron, discovered that approximately 15 to 20% of the world's population is born as highly sensitive person, or HSP. In her national bestseller, The Highly Sensitive Person, How to Thrive When the World Overwhelms You, author Elaine Aaron defines and a distinct personality trait that affects as many as one out of every five people, often mischaracterized as you are too sensitive. This emphatic personality type feels and thinks deeply about their inner world and surroundings. This is very close to me because I have a highly sensitive daughter who I love a lot. And when I told her I was doing this show, she gave me tons of questions. So if you find you are highly sensitive or your child is, today's show is for you because I am welcoming to the bomb shelter Alexandria Thibodeau to the show. She is an exuberant, passionate person who also deeply struggled all her life with managing the overwhelm that comes with her innately amplified feelings. It wasn't until she discovered she is an HSP during a time of overwhelm and internal anguish that she learned that being highly sensitive is her greatest superpower. Now she serves to help other HSPs thrive in a world that caters to the non-HSPs. She is a relationship coach specializing in HSPs and identity, rebirth, and cultural renaissance. She helps highly sensitive people thrive in relationship to self and in interpersonal relationships. And she also helps people of all temperaments get to the core of their authentic identities so they can operate from a place of self-acceptance as a means to navigate life with fierce intuition, unwavering self-respect, and complete authenticity. Alexandria, welcome to welcome to the Bomb Shelter. How are you?
Thank you so much, Dr. Shields. I am so happy to be here, and I am feeling great. I'm very excited.
Well, I am excited because during the time before we started recording, we talked about our connection. We both come from the great city of Chicago. You grew up in Naperville. I grew up in the city. And as I shared to you, we used to come out to your high school and beat up on your athletes, not physically beat up on the track and field. I love your indoor track out there. I love coming out to Naperville. It is expanding and growing right now. And so you leave Naperville, you leave Chicago to go from one cold place and then you go to another cold place. Who does that, Alexandra? Who goes from one cold place to another cold place? But you're in my favorite state. Yes, you are in Colorado. I love Colorado because I love the outdoors. And so welcome.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I am so honored to be here.
So let me just tell you this. After doing my research on you and after watching a film that we're going to share later on, Sensitive and in Love, Alexandra, I had to call my 16-year-old daughter downstairs, and I asked her, as we were listening to you talk, and we were watching some videos, and I said to my daughter, is this you? And she calls me Baba, which means father in Swahili, Alexandra, and she says, well, I'm not as sensitive as I used to be. And I said to her, I said, I want you to understand that this is okay. I don't want you to think that it's a bad thing. And so when I asked her the question, she said, I'm not as sensitive as I used to be. So I am so glad that you're here because I need to unpack this conversation to support my baby because I love her and all those other people with superpowers. So let's get down to it. What is a highly sensitive person?
So a highly sensitive person or an HSP is somebody who possesses an acutely sensitive nervous system. And that is due to a genetic and physiological trait. This is the important thing. It's a physiological trait, not a mental one, called sensory processing sensitivity. And so essentially what that means is our nervous systems are just wired more sensitively than the rest of the people around us. And so because our nervous systems are more sensitive, we experience a deeper cognitive processing of physical, social, and emotional stimuli. Basically, that means that we process things in our environment, things in our surroundings, much deeper and with much more calculation than the average person.
So when did you know that you had this superpower?
I actually discovered I had the superpower about 2 years ago. So this is a fairly newish self-discovery.
And so what was the self-discovery? Walk me and my listeners through that when you first discovered that.
Absolutely. So I discovered I was an HSP when I was venting to one of my friends about my internal anguish I was experiencing surrounding jobs and career. So essentially every job I've ever had out of college, every career I've pursued, I have absolutely hated. And it's because it made me so miserable because nothing was aligned and I could not figure out why. And I worked in different industries, different organizations with different focuses. Nothing sufficed. And it wasn't even just like, oh, this doesn't work for me or I don't like it, but I can deal with it. Like, no, it severely impacted my mental health. So when my husband and I moved to Denver, I told myself I had recently quit my 3-year corporate job. I did everything right, you know, climbed up the corporate ladder, making more money, gaining more prestige, doing everything right on paper, but was horribly miserable. And so I eventually quit after 3 years. And I said, you know what? I'm never doing this again. I'm making this promise to myself. And then my husband and I found out we were moving to Denver for his job, which is very exciting. But as soon as we moved here, financial panic ensued. And I thought, okay, I need a job. I can't do what I want to do. I just need to find something because we have bills. So I did not listen to myself, and I got an office job at a staffing agency. Did not want it. I cried on the way home after the interview because I did not want the job. And I lasted 2 weeks because I had a breakdown and quit. And I was on the phone with my friend, and I said, you know what? What is wrong with me? Why can't I sustain a job? Like, no one likes their job. Everyone's miserable, but they find ways to make it work. They find ways to get through it. Why can't I? I am crazy. And she said, no. You're not crazy. You're just highly sensitive. And when she said that to me, it really resonated because I have always known, always, that I'm a very sensitive person, sure. But those two words, highly sensitive together, sounded like something. And I thought, okay, my degree's in psychology. Did I learn about this in school? I start perusing my textbooks, nothing in there. Gave it a Google, which is what I should have done first. And lo and behold, I discovered this is very much a real thing. This is a genetic physiological trait that affects 1 out of 5 people. So 15 to 20% of the world population. And I fall within that. And everything made sense. Everything came together. I was completely validated. And from that point, I decided to accept myself for who I am instead of being frustrated with my innate sensitivity and pivot my life in ways that cater to who I am.
So when you discovered this, did you then reach out to your parents and then have them sort of have a conversation with you when you were younger? And if so, what was their response? And did they notice anything when you were a young child? Because you said you discovered this or you tapped into it just fairly recently.
Yes. So I did speak to my mom about it. And to my disappointment, she could not provide me any information that resonated with the characteristics of being highly sensitive. Now, I do think that's kind of a loaded question. I do think, well, I mean, I don't think I know. A lot of her memory is actually impaired because of trauma. So that's probably a significant reason why she doesn't remember a lot of it. But I can remember things on my own as a child, being in social situations where people, whether it was my parents telling me you're too loud, you need to calm down, or you need to be quiet, or you need to stop fidgeting, or you need to just accept what's going on. I do remember a lot of that as a child occurring.
And the reason why I ask you that, because I think about my youngest daughter. I have 3 children. She's 16. Mm-hmm. And I remember her going to the circus, and we didn't, you know, we weren't on the field trip with her. And her teacher was like, your daughter lost it. I mean, the balloons, the firecrackers. And I remember going to, I mean, you being from Chicago, if you ever did the Taste of Chicago, the big fireworks show, she would cover her ears. And, you know, all the adults around us, we would say stuff like, and I'm one of them, and I'm an educator and a teacher and been doing mm-hmm. this work. And like, stop that, take your ear, you know, move your hands from your ears and stop crying. And this stuff has been going on. And I remember her mom just really getting on her and, you know, stop doing this and stop doing that. And so when I decided to do this show, when your information was sent to me, it really, really hit me like, this is what's been going on with my daughter. And because I didn't understand it, and because her brother and her older sister and even the family members around her said, oh, you know, get over it, move on. And when I showed her, you know, what you were talking about and other people, it really, really resonated with her. And what she said to me, which was interesting, is she says, well, I'm not weird. And I like to play with that word weird because weird is like a popular, it's like kind of cool to be weird. And right now, but to take it further, she says, I'm not the only one. Did you feel like that when you found out what this actually meant that there were other people, 1 in 5, that you weren't the only one walking around feeling this way?
Oh my God. It was such an enormous sense of relief that I was not the only one. And logically, you know, of course you think to yourself, there's 8 billion people in the world. Of course I can't be the only one, but it's so hard to actually think that on like an emotional level. And oh my God, it felt so good because my entire life I have been so frustrated with myself and had shame around myself and how I reacted to things. And I felt so different than everyone around me. I felt alienated. I felt isolated. I felt strange. And for the longest time, I really thought something was mentally wrong. I thought, do I have a mental disorder? Like, do I need to see a psychiatrist? What is the problem? And it felt so good to learn, oh my gosh, there's one in five people just like me who are experiencing the same struggles, which is the reason I decided to become a coach for this population, is because there's not a lot of information around it. And there's so much internal shame surrounded by being highly sensitive in a world that prefers confident extroverts.
So Alexandra, if someone is interested in one of your consultations, walk me through what that process is.
Sure. So there is a link where on my website or on my Instagram where people can sign up for a free call. It's basically a discovery call, and that's for 30 minutes. And essentially what we do on that call is we discuss what the person's vision is, what their goals are, and how soon they want to achieve those goals, whether they are goals related to relationship to self, relationship with others, whether that is professional relationships, family relationships, romantic relationships, it does not matter, or parental relationships, children relationships, whatever it may be. We discuss the struggles that they are having in that relationship, and then we figure out ways to move forward to create transformation in their relationships.
Now, do you only work with adults, or do you work with young people as well?
I work with young people as well, yeah.
And how different, or is it similar, or is it different from working with adults and young people?
There's definitely similarities and there's definitely differences. I would say there's probably more differences than similarities. I have worked with teens before, and that's a very different demographic than someone even in their 20s, because that's high school versus, you know, corporate real world jobs. That's children living at home with parents versus independent adults. So it's quite different. But either way, I still am able to cater the needs based on the age demographic and specific individual needs of the HSP.
So the kids that you're working with, are the kids coming to you because they've known that they were different, or are the parents coming to you because they might have read something, saw something online, the kid, they're trying to figure their kid out? How are young people coming to your practice?
Yeah, so young people come to my practice generally because they are recognizing that there is something innately different with the way that they are experiencing the world. For example, one client I worked with was actually connected to me through my sister-in-law, who is a teacher actually in New Orleans. And she said, you know, I have a student here who is explaining things to me that sound kind of similar to your practice. It sounds like she might be a highly sensitive person, and it seems like she's struggling because of that. Can I connect her to you? And I said, absolutely. And so she and I worked together for a few months, basically just working on how she can manage overwhelm at home and how she can manage overwhelm in her various communities at school, whether it's the actual classroom or extracurriculars. And so we worked on tools to help her manage that.
Wow. You know, it's interesting, when I was talking to my daughter and I share with her people like Greta Garbo, Katharine Hepburn, Judy Garland, Dr. King, you know, yeah, there's so many, you know, Nicole Kidman, that there's so many people who have this label that's on them, and that it's okay that you're connected to a deeper source, that you sort of see the world in a different way. You know, with some of the people that I name, and I'm sure because you mentioned some of the famous people that we are admire, what are some advantages that come with being an HSP?
Oh my goodness, this is such a great question. Thank you for asking. There are a myriad of advantages. First and foremost, highly sensitive people are innately very empathic, and that allows us to be great problem solvers, great helpers. In fact, a lot of HSPs end up maintaining career roles such as counselors, judges, religious advisors, healers, artists. You know, these are the people that are furthering our society because they are feeling deeply and they're choosing to express their sensitive feelings to make shift happen in our society. So we're extremely deeply empathic. We also notice subtleties in our environments that other people miss. And this is really cool because this allows us to self-regulate. So we'll be able to tell, okay, something's off about the situation. I can't figure out what it is what most people say. But we are acutely aware of what's going on in our surroundings and how it affects us, which allows us to be pretty good self-regulators. And that also allows us to be great co-regulators for other people. So if we are in a social situation, let's say you're having a party at your house or something, a group gathering, and you can tell that one person looks a little bit discontented, the HSP is more than likely going to be able to tell exactly what that person needs, whether the light needs to be turned down or they can tell the person's too warm and a window needs to be opened. We have that ability to sense and see what other people need, even if they are not able to figure that out themselves. And another huge advantage is that HSPs are fiercely intuitive. Now, everybody has the gift of intuition. It's really something that we kind of have to practice strengthening. But HSPs innately have very, very strong sense of intuition, which I think is a super cool superpower.
So we talked about some of the advantages. What challenges come with being an HSP?
Yes, there's definitely a lot of struggles and challenges that come with being an HSP. So in terms of being highly empathic, while this is a very positive thing, a very positive characteristic, it also can pose a lot of problems for HSPs because we innately want to problem solve, one, to help the other person, but two, to self-regulate because other people's feelings and emotions overwhelm us because we literally absorb them. It's an unconscious exercise that we're doing. And so being highly empathic often makes us targets for enmeshed relationships, codependent relationships, because a lot of the time HSPs have trouble asserting themselves and their needs because they are catering to everybody else's needs. So that is an unfortunate disadvantage, but definitely not one that can't be remedied.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Alexandra, because I think about my daughter. I would always describe her as being very compassionate. And I watch her, and I mean, she's very crass as well. I tell her, I said, you can't just say anything out of your mouth. It comes with consequence. And I would say to her, somebody's going to punch you in the face one day. But she's so compassionate. And I watch her take care of her younger brother in the morning because we have these rituals. So we're vegan in our house, or so a certain vitamins that we take in the morning, there's certain juice, and she'll lay all this out. But then after that, he'll come in the room and she'll be like, get out my room. And I'm like, so he's like young and he's trying to figure out like, well, we were just hanging out just a few minutes ago. And then all of a sudden she wants to be by herself. So as a parent like me, who's listening to the show and to the other folks at Sound Bombers, what are some of the signs of being very, very sensitive that I should look out for? Or not only just that, because I've observed them with my own child, but what are some of the signs that we should be paying attention to of our children for those that are noticing certain things in their children?
Definitely. So for parents, some things that they can look out for are noticing, do their children have strong reactions to physical stimuli? So a great example is clothing. Do you notice that your child is very uncomfortable in certain types of shorts or certain types of pants or certain types of shoes? You can tell that your child is very discontented. And whereas most other children seem fine with wearing this type of sweater or whatever it may be, your child is actually having a very strong reaction. Things like that are strong indicators that they are a highly sensitive child. Other indicators include strong outbursts. So this is a great example, kind of like what you were talking about with your daughter, which was not an outburst, but it's like one moment they seem contented. And then the next, if anything in the environment shifts at all, and that could be anything, whether you change the channel on the TV or you started cooking dinner, which now is creating commotion in the home within the kitchen. Any little change within the environment, if the child has a strong reaction very quickly as a reaction to that, that's another strong indicator. I actually spoke with a parent not too long ago about this exact thing. And the mother was making dinner and the child was fine with that. Nothing out of the ordinary. But then in the process of her cooking, the pot boiled over. She wasn't quite paying attention. And this pot of water boiled over. And it was not even that loud of a sound, but it was loud enough when the lid on the pan fell. And the child screamed and did what you were saying. The child put their hands over their ears and screamed to block the sound that they heard of the lid falling on the floor, which is a very significant reaction. And her son is a highly sensitive person. So strong indicators are strong, severe reactions to any sort of change in the environment.
I'm so glad you talked about that, Alexandra, because after I sat down with my daughter, I just felt so bad. Like I'm thinking about for 16 years, I knew she was very in tune and sensitive, but mm-hmm. not really knowing that it was connected to something. And I should have picked up on those signs because I do this work. A lot of the times I'm working with a group of young people in St. Louis, children with children who have disabilities. So on autism mm-hmm. spectrum, you know, just everything that you can actually think of. And it felt good talking to her yesterday and allowing her to really identify that, because I do remember her mom screaming at her. I do remember saying, you know, it's not that serious and those type of things. And to see her face light up was really, really good. So I am excited that you're sharing these very specific things. Now, I know one of the things that you do is you are also focusing on relationships and interpersonal relationships. So what I want to do, I want to play a clip from the movie that you and I were talking about. It's called Sensitive and in Love. And Sound Bombers, I want you to just to check this out for a second.
I've known for most of my life that I was different. I thought that there was something wrong with me. Today, I am feeling overwhelmed by the world. My family, my job, my relationships. Why do I have to be so sensitive about everything?
This highly sensitive thing? Oh, it's what makes you a loser.
Some days, I feel like I'm too sensitive to live. When Mom was gone, something went wrong, huh? For the both of us. Without her, that grew more distant than ever before. I never knew how much my father had hurt my brother.
And for goodness sake, stop crying.
I didn't like it when you were weak, when you were shy.
My sister, I think she could use your help.
A therapist? Why are you butting into my business? Telling a complete stranger what I'm going through?
She's always gone from guy to guy. She's real clingy, but she's the kind of person all she's ever wanted was to find that one person to give her heart to.
This is like an automatic response.
Or hanging on to a partner you know is bad for you.
You're bad, Juju.
Your mind says, there is no one else. I have to keep him, whatever he does. You'll stay on, in spite of knowing that it's not good for you.
I thought before that my sensitivity was a curse, but now I know it's a gift.
So Alexandra, talk to me about the film Sensitive and in Love and how your work is supporting the work of interpersonal relationships with HSPs.
Definitely. So the film Sensitive and in Love is essentially a film that is documenting the life of a highly sensitive person, both male and female, which also I want to point out, high sensitivity affects both males and females equally, which is a cool fun fact. And so this film basically shows people the mental processes, the reality of life in a world as a highly sensitive person when most people are not. And it focuses specifically on romantic relationships. And that is because romantic relationships tend to be a bit more challenging for highly sensitives. And so this film walks us through what it's like to experience romantic love as a highly sensitive person, what it's like to experience romantic love with a highly sensitive person when you yourself are not one. And it also documents the ways in which relationships can thrive if you and or your partner are in a highly sensitive relationship.
Of highly sensitive people, do they thrive much better with another highly sensitive person? Because, man, everybody, Alexandra, can't be in the house crying and throwing stuff, screaming and running out. I mean, we need to have something. And then I know most women, they always say, yeah, I want a sensitive man. But if you and your man watching the movie and you all constantly crying, you looking over for some support and he's crying, you're like, well, where's my support? So do they typically work much better with someone who is sort of in line with them as well? Or does that really matter?
Typically, yes. HSPs work well in relationships with other HSPs. However, they also work very well with non-HSPs, because you brought up some very good points. HSPs need non-HSPs in their life. It's paramount, because exactly what you said, a lot of the time HSPs can get caught in a cycle of sensitivity and then no one is helped. So, for example, both my husband and I are highly sensitive. but we have very different characteristics as highly sensitive people. And of course we have similar ones, but we have, I would say, more different characteristics. But I definitely experience this, and I know he does too, where he and I will get caught in a cycle of, okay, we literally cannot pull each other up right now because we're both feeling this so much. I need to go find someone else who's not as sensitive, who can tell me, okay, it's not that deep. Take some deep breaths. It's okay. You're overthinking this. Let me present a new idea. And then I feel better. It's like, great. I got out of my own head, out of my own sensitive reality, and was essentially regulated by somebody else. So that is a very good point. I'm glad that you brought that up.
So how do you then help a person who is struggling in a relationship? And is this different from just traditional relationships? So do you say something different from a person who's not HSP than a person who actually is?
What exactly do you mean? Like,
So when you engage, I know your specialty is really helping people thrive in interpersonal relationships with HSPs. Yeah. Would that be different from an individual like myself who may not be highly sensitive?
Oh, yes and no. So essentially all of the information that I share, that I teach about, that I help people with, can be applied to anyone, and it can be applied to any relationship. But it's specifically catered to highly sensitives because we're going to be needing to use these tools more often and more regularly, more consistently than the average couple who is not highly sensitive. Essentially, these are tools that we need to always have handy, and we need to use them regularly because HSPs have to make a constant practice of this, or else they'll succumb to overwhelm, and more than likely their relationship will suffer because the overwhelm is not being regulated.
So I know in the beginning you talked about how you felt like you need to go to a therapist, a psychologist, mm-hmm. a psychiatrist, or whomever. And you said that you did your own research and you sort of figured it out. But is being highly sensitive, is that considered a disorder?
It is not. No, it's not a disorder. It's not a condition. It's not anything like that. It is simply just a physiological genetic trait.
Now, knowing what you know about Alexandra and knowing that you are a highly sensitive person, if you had to go back and talk to your younger self, knowing what you know now with the research and data and life situations, what would you say to yourself?
Oh my gosh. I would say that I'm awesome. And I would say that I am exceptional, really. And I would say that I have a superpower, which essentially makes me a superhuman. That is what I would tell myself, because that's what I tell myself now. And it's the truth. And I really wish my younger self would have known that. But, you know, my parents didn't know. And like you were saying, you didn't know. But I really want to champion you so much, Dr. Shields, for taking this so seriously and being so reflective and introspective in regards to how this affects your family, how this affects your daughter. And I love that you care so much and that you're researching and learning and that she is top of mind for you in this arena. I think it's very lovely.
Well, she is going to be so excited to hear this show. And I am so grateful and honored that you joined me in the studio. But I can't keep you forever. Since I can't keep you forever, my bombing community can keep you forever. How can they get in contact with you?
Wonderful. People can get in contact with me through my website, alexandriathibodeau.com, but I am most active on Instagram. So essentially my handle is just my name, Alexandria Thibodeau, and you can find me there.
Alexandra, it has been an honor to talk with you. I've learned so much. I cannot wait to share this with the rest of my family and the Sound Bombing community. But before you get out of here, one of my favorite part of the shows is called the Super Bomb Questions. And these are questions that allow our listeners to get a chance to know you in a different light. And since you already shared you already put all your other information out there, you might as well keep it going. But this is in a fun way. All right, so I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and I want you to respond as quickly as possible. Are you ready, Miss Alexandra?
I am ready.
All right, so here we go. What is your favorite word?
Metanoia.
What is your favorite quote or Bible verse or spiritual verse?
Favorite quote is by Mary Oliver. Are you barely breathing and calling it a life?
What's your superpower?
My sensitivity.
Your sensitivity. You probably liked that song by Ralph Trasvan, didn't you? The song about sensitivity. Oh, you got to go back and find that song. New Edition, girl. We ain't got time to talk about that. We move on to the next question. What is your spirit animal?
Oh, a Tonkinese cat.
What moves you to tears of joy?
What moves me to tears of joy? What moves me to tears of joy? Oh, the scene in Parks and Recreation when Ben proposes to Leslie Knope.
What moves you to tears of sorrow?
The news, honestly.
What do you wish you had more time to do?
I wish I had more time. Oh, this is a good one. I wish I had more time to travel.
What is the book or books you've given most as a gift and why?
Oh my goodness. This is such a great question. The book that I give the most is A General Theory of Love. It's by three psychiatrists and they talk about their theories of love.
Walk me through your morning routine. Give me 3 to 5 things that you do religiously every morning.
Okay. Wake up, stretch for about 2 to 3 minutes. Drink a glass of water. If I'm being real, I will have a morning toke and sit on the couch and relax for about 30 minutes before I start working.
If you were in the Mrs. America talent competition, what would your talent be?
My talent would be inspiring people to transform.
And that's what you did today. So Alexandra Thibodeau, I want to thank you for joining me in the Bomb Shelter. You've been amazing.
Thank you so much. It's been really fun to speak with you. This has been such a riveting conversation.
And I would also like to thank my engineer, Alec Blanc, my producer, Kimberly Peterson, Supremacy, for our theme music, and all of you for listening. And make sure you subscribe. Go tell everybody about our show, Sound Bomb, and we're on every platform. Leave a comment, stop being stingy, and share me with all of your friends. If you want to know more about me, you can visit DrLamarDarnielShields.com or www.drlds.com. And as always, believe that something wonderful is about to happen and that some people miss the message because they're too busy looking for the mess. Thanks for tuning in, and do something for someone other than yourself today. You've been listening to Sound Bombing, and we're going to leave you with the song Sensitivity from New Edition, since my girl Alexandra Thibodeau did not know who that was. Peace. Hey, Sound Bombing community, thanks for tuning in to that amazing interview with Alexandra Thibodeau. She provided us with so much information, and I'm sure you want to know more about highly sensitive people. If you feel that you are a highly sensitive person, I would encourage you to go to hsperson.com, hsperson.com, to take the highly sensitive person questionnaire to see if you fall within the category of being a highly sensitive person. Thanks for tuning in.